God, first of all, we come before you with hearts full of anticipation and gratitude for what this year is going to bring us. Lord, we thank you for the gift of life and for the journey that has brought us to this moment, through all that we have gone through. Your presence has been our constant source of strength and hope. As your word comes forth today, may the power of the Holy Spirit just open our hearts and minds so that we can receive what your will is for us this day. We thank and praise you for your grace, your mercy, and your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, now, my message, this is my message, renewed and refreshed to live a consecrated life. Amen. Now, here's the scriptures, Matthew 11, 28 to 30, page 1166, and this is in the voice, because our everyday Bible, I was trying to do it for that, but it's different, so I'll just do the voice for now. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, page 1436. Joshua 3, 5, page 257. Mm-hmm. Romans 12, 1 and 2, page 1388. 2 Chronicles 20 and 3, page 519. 2 Chronicles 20 and 3, page 519. Matthew 4, 1 to 11, page 1154 and 55. Acts 13, 2 and 3, page 1347. Jonah 3, 4 and 5, page 1089. Isaiah 58:4-7, page 863. Hopefully, we have all been able to reflect on the past year, acknowledging the fact that if God had not been there for us, we would have never made it. Looking back helps us to see how far we have come, as well as areas that we still need to mature in. It's important to learn from the past, but we don't have to wallow in it and beat ourselves up. If it's been a difficult year, we can acknowledge that, praise God for how he's helped us through, and say, okay, Lord, I'm moving on with your help and guidance. When we hold on to our past, it hinders the blessing that God has planned for us. I know that under certain circumstances, this can be easier said than done, but he says that when we seek him with all our heart, we will find him, and he promises to bless us and make a way for us when we seem lost in the wilderness. And he'll direct our steps to a place of safety and security in him. Sometimes the pressures of life can keep us from focusing our attention on the Lord. However, that is the very time when we really need him the most. This is what God's word says. It says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Put my yoke upon your shoulders. It might appear heavy at first, but it is perfectly fitted to your curves. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. When you are yoked to me, your weary souls will find rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This scripture right here is letting us know that Jesus will lighten our load, refresh and renew us by giving us rest that can only come through him. Jesus invites us to put his yoke on. Now, it doesn't mean that we're released from our responsibility. To take Christ's yoke upon you means to obey the gospel and to submit to God your will, his will for your life. Jesus is clear. There are expectations to following him. And it won't always be easy. Believe me, it won't. But he's gentle. He's not like the other things we yoke our lives to that weigh us down. Even in difficult seasons, we can find rest and peace. We must remember that we don't have to accomplish anything alone or in our own strength if we remain yoked to Jesus. Okay. Did I mix up papers? Here we go. Now, the moment that we accept Jesus as Savior, the Holy Spirit immediately comes to reside in us. It happens instantaneously. There is no delay. Our bodies are now the temple of the Lord. Since the blood of Jesus has made us a new creation, we are now considered pure, holy, and acceptable children of God. Because you too have heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation, and because you believed in the one who is truth, your lives are marked with his seal. This is none other than the Holy Spirit who was promised as the guarantee toward the inheritance we are to receive when he frees and rescues all who belong to him. To God be all praise and glory. Now we have access to the Father, who is our creator, through his Son, who is seated at the right hand, making intercession for us. And now we've got the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. What an awesome connection. Now, what can we do to continue with this wonderful connection? You know what we can do? We can consecrate ourselves before the Lord. And this is how we can do it. Consecration is a sacred and holy act that allows us to separate ourselves from all of the things that take our focus off God and draw closer to him by worship, prayer, and service unto him. By consecrating ourselves, we release negative and discouraging influences so that the voice of God can be clear to us and we can better understand his will for our lives and better align ourselves with his plan. Joshua 3 and 5 says, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves because the Lord will do wonders among you tomorrow. We must set ourselves apart for God so that we are available for his use. We make up our minds and our hearts to hear from him and obey. We also recognize that we are to live holy and righteous before him. And in doing so, he will do amazing things for us. There are times when we can get so busy with our own agendas that we are not in position to hear from the Lord. We just have to take a breather and stop what we're doing and refresh ourselves by reading the word, which in turn will renew our thinking so we can put our attention back where it belongs, on Christ. As true believers in Christ, the act of consecration involves our lives being a living sacrifice to him. We are totally separated from the defilement of the world. Our bodies are to be presented as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is the appropriate thing we are to do because of the mercy that God has already extended to us. We can still enjoy some things out there, but we should regard those things as significantly less important than our spiritual well-being. Romans 12:1-2 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in the view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and that perfect will of God. We have to be very careful not to allow the world's ideas and input to cloud our judgment and reject anything that promotes any kind of unrighteousness. We must follow God's will for our lives, even when it seems to conflict with something that the world holds as high priorities, such as money, fame, status, love, etc. There's a time and a place for all that, but they should never take priority over our service to God. As we draw closer to God and allow the Holy Spirit to take control, the better we become at discerning His will for our lives. This helps us to keep our concentration on doing the will of God no matter what comes our way, because there will be things that come our way and they will try to hinder our progress. So we'll need to find a quiet place where there's no interruptions or temptation so that we are able to clear our minds of everything and fix our minds on Jesus. Now, this can be a period for us to establish a quiet time where we just remove ourselves from the busyness of our day and spend time praying, reading God's word, and quietly listening to what God has to say to us. Now, it's going to take some sacrifice, but the word of God says that obedience is better than sacrifice, and we want to obey, correct? Because the word also says that if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So start out with about 5 or 10 minutes of quiet time. And let's try to make it a commitment of our daily walk. It has been said that in 21 days, something can become a habit. However, I'm not so sure how true it is, just going on my own judgment. To me, key factors in establishing a habit, consistency and persistence. Also, spending time with God daily is a game changer because it guards us through unexpected situations, and it makes us a difference in how we react. Remember what Pastor was saying? He said, Lord, he knew if the Spirit wasn't residing in him, he would have reacted a different way. And that's how we have to be. Now, don't beat yourself up or throw in a towel if you slip up. Come on, it happens to the best of us. Just ask God for forgiveness, regroup, and continue on your way. Now, we don't want you to consider this relationship to be routine or ordinary, okay? We want this to be an exceptional experience with God so that spending time in His presence is something that is not only that you want to do, but you look forward to it. In addition to consecration, fasting is an important component because it allows for a cleansing of our mind, our body, and our spirit. It helps us rid ourselves of unhealthy habits and practices that are emotionally, mentally, and physically draining. Fasting encompasses prayer, meditation, and seeking God for direction. Fasting and consecration are two different entities, but they both have a purpose together, which is to establish a greater, more intimate connection with God. When we fast and consecrate ourselves, we repent of our wrongs, we cleanse our bodies of worldly unhealthy influences, we spend time with God, and we develop healthy disciplines and prepare ourselves to do the will of God because He wants to transform our very lives so that we can represent Him. Now, fasting is not just about food. It's about cleansing our heart and our mind. We take our focus off the food and put our focus on God. Turning down our plate, we offer that time to God in total surrender to express our love, our devotion, and our dependence on Him. Whether you're giving up certain foods, giving up social media, giving up TV, movies, games, whatever it is, this is a spiritual discipline that will take sacrifice. But this sacrifice is to glorify God. We must remember also that He gave us the greatest sacrifice of all when He gave us His Son. As I was doing my reading, I was going through some things, and I saw the benefits of fasting. And it says, here are some of the benefits. Protection. 2 Chronicles 20:3. Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he resolved to seek the Lord. Then he proclaimed a fast for all Judah who gathered to seek the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek him. Victory over temptation. I'm not going to go over that one because that's a long, I gave you the scripture, but that's the one where Jesus was tempted by the devil. You know, he was fasting 40 days and 40 nights. So you know, you can read that. But we know the story. We know how Satan came to him. But it's good to always read it again. Commission into ministry. That's a benefit. It says Acts 13:2-3. As they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after they had fasted, prayed, and laid hands on them, they sent them off. Reaching the heart of God, Jonah 3:4-5. Jonah set out on the first day of his walk in the city and proclaimed, in 40 days, Nineveh will be demolished. Then the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and dressed in sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. Now, this one, I'm going to read it because it's important to see how God is looking at this one. Deliverance. God is challenging the Israelites because their fast was not sincere. He says, what good is fasting when you keep fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourself by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourself with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Hallelujah. When everyone is looking for excitement, quick fixes, and glamour, that only gives instant gratification, excuse me, God gives us what we really need, and that is his grace, mercy, and love, which provides long-lasting results. When you fast unto God and not unto man, you come out transformed with a new understanding of his greatness. We should all be inspired to keep consecration and fasting as a lifestyle so that unhealthy habits can no longer hold us and keep us captive. God wants to completely transform our lives. So let us be determined to draw closer to him by spending time in his presence with a renewed commitment so that we can find refreshment, rest, and renewing for our souls. Amen? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the time that you have allowed us to spend in your presence today. Help us remember that you have given us more than we could ever have asked for or even imagined. Help us to continually turn our eyes to you in worship and adoration. For you are the Alpha and Omega, the anointing one and liberating King overall. We thank you for all your blessings you give to us daily. We thank you for our family and our friends that you surround us with. And most of all, Lord God, we thank you for the lives of someone like Miss Jackie, who we were able to enjoy. We thank you for the freedom that we find in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.